The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's, pizzeria quality no matter how you slice it.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, Waddle's list here in a minute. We've got the All-Star game tonight. We had a would you rather question, though, about would you rather have a jerk neighbor or a jerk boss? I think this is tougher than you may think.
Well, what would be your first inclination?
I think you would say you'd rather have a jerk neighbor because you don't want to screw around with your boss at work and where you're, where you make your money and where you have your career.
Yeah, but a jerk neighbor can...
You're living.
Can, yes, yeah, can...
Like, they always say you don't want to live with them. Like, that's 24-7.
Yeah.
Being a neighbor could be a 24-7 thing where you got your 8 hours a day with your boss. You also, a lot of times, may not see your neighbor a lot. Like, how jerky is the neighbor?
I have good neighbors, so...
Me too. We're very lucky that way.
Well, how about this, though? It really only takes one bad experience with a neighbor for you to kind of, in your head, label them a jerk for a long time.
Well, Waddle had that bad experience on Halloween. Didn't you have a jerk neighbor?
Oh, yes.
Leave you a note?
Yes. I also had a neighbor whose son was a little out there and used to wander into my yard. And I do believe actually planted some marijuana plants in my property.
Really? Do we know this?
I believe.
Wait, you
allegedly? I'm not giving any names or any homes.
Is this a breaking news story?
No, from years ago we've
never disclosed.
Like I said, I have not named names, or I'm not telling you which home I was in.
So you are alleging that one of your neighbors had a son.
I'm suspicious that...
Yeah, that you claim was out there.
Did you have to disclose that to Foxy before you sold the house?
I did not. I did not determine
how did you figure this out? Did you go outside and you notice something growing in your backyard?
My landscaper actually said something to me. He's like, hey, did you know that? Like I was growing them, and I was like, no.
Now it all makes sense.
Weed's not my thing. Listen,
you know,
if there was a scotch plant outside where a scotch just grew from the ground, guilty. But not weed.
I had heard rumors that your nickname is the Pablo Escobar of Lake Forest. So
that's honestly the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, the dumbest.
I laughed.
The dumbest.
I laughed.
Because you're an easy target. Like,
low-hanging weed right there.
Pablo Escobar was dealing booger sugar, not weed.
So now, is there more we need to know?
No, that's not.
So what did you do when
I may have been the...
Who was
the town drunk in Arch...
Otis?
Andy Griffith. Otis. I've been accused of being Otis, but not...
But that makes
Pablo
sense.
Pablo Escobar.
Now I know why they call you the Pablo Escobar of Lake Forest.
I don't know what... You realize that Pablo was into the booger sugar, right? He's not with us any longer.
Okay, then give me a famous weed farmer. That would make it easier on the audience.
I don't know. You just called Adam Abdallah a weed farmer? He'll be down here in like 45 minutes to try to reclaim his pride or his good name, rather.
So what did you
do?
The
Darlene of Lake Forest. How about that? The Darlene of Lake Forest.
That's poppy. That's not weed. Like, you suck at drugs, man.
Sorry. So sorry.
Who
give me a
some
better
of the good
one.
Weed growers?
I don't know. Like, who? It's Cheech and Chong. I'm the Cheech and Chong of...
There you
of
go.
Lake Forest.
Nancy Botwin from Weeds, the show.
Oh, there you go.
Never seen it.
Showtime. It's a little 10 years old, but hey, I'll take it.
So is The Wire, and I'm all wrapped up in it.
This is breaking news of 15 years being together. I don't believe
you did.
This
I told
is a,
you that.
You told me this?
Yes. You're playing the part of me.
You did.
Probably off the air.
Yeah, okay. So you're disclosing on the air for the first time. Now, what
do you know anyone that's ever grown weed?
No, I wouldn't know how to, or if it would be like...
I didn't say you. I said, do you know anyone that's...
Could you grow weed in this climate? Yes.
Yes.
You can.
Yes. What do you mean?
Well, I mean...
You don't grow it in the winter, bro. Like, nothing grows. You can't grow corn in the winter.
Do you have to replant every year like a farmer, or is it?
It depends if you want more weed.
Does it?
Do you just want one batch of weed, or do you want? Now we need Abdallah's advice into this.
So you find weed in your backyard, and what
my landscaper did.
Oh, your landscaper. And what did he do with it?
I chopped it down.
Okay, and then what did he do with it?
Took it home.
I have no idea.
And then did you report it?
No.
You just let it.
I moved on.
And you, and how did you figure that it was the neighbor?
Just, the product of the process of elimination.
Really?
Yeah, it's not hard. Would you know if something was going on in your house, like where you should look if something?
No, not really. I know nothing.
Well, you need to get your head out of your ass. And understand what's going on in your house.
I don't know what's going on around there. Nothing.
I didn't tell you which house. I've lived in several houses.
I know you have.
I've lived in one.
This could be Hawthorne Woods.
Yes.
This could be,
by the way,
the Arlington Club.
Right? Well, that wasn't a house. That was
a townhouse, wasn't it?
That was.
Can I name all the places you've lived?
Arlington Club
was your first one.
That's right. And the week we moved out, I think someone got murdered. In the building.
This is you lived through Ozark.
Kind of. But like, we moved in there, my wife and I, we weren't married at the time, because why do you think we were at the Arlington Club? Fully furnished apartments.
Right.
Didn't know if I was gonna be
there
here or not. I was gonna
the Lincoln Mercury.
Right. I didn't know if I was gonna make the team or not make the team. So we weren't gonna buy.
We could do a
plus
whole,
we didn't have any money.
We can do a whole documentary of all the places Waddles lived.
So we left there, got a little bit of security.
Right. Went to Hawthorne Woods.
No, went to Buffalo Grove. Had a nice townhouse. Loved that place.
Then to Hawthorne Woods.
Then went to I love that place as well.
Kevin Butler was one of your neighbors.
Yes,
then.
He used to hit, like, we could hit 9 irons from our front lawns to each other's house.
Yes.
Used to party out there. Had a cornfield in my backyard.
Cornfield?
Yeah. A lot of things growing out there.
Oh, is this where the weed was?
I did not say that. And then you moved.
Then you moved to Skokie off of Dempster Street.
I did not.
I'm kidding.
No.
Then that was your first place you went to Lake Forest.
That's correct.
One of three houses in Lake Forest.
That is correct.
And then the second house is where Foxy eventually bought.
That is correct.
And now you're in your third Lake Forest home.
That is correct.
It's pretty good that I know that.
I'm getting the hell out of there as soon as I can.
You are?
No, I don't
know. You breaking more news?
No, I don't know.
So Waddle just broke news publicly that he believes a neighbor of his, would you rather have a jerk neighbor or a jerk boss? So which way are you going then? I think it's the
neither.
Boss.
Yeah, neither is good.
No,
but I would say jerk boss, because you're like, I think Meller said, one bad neighbor could like ruin
everything.
All your
experience. No, and it's not just the one bad neighbor, but it only takes like one bad event for you to like to poison your outlook of your neighbor, and it really is very hard to get back, because then you're always, chances are there's friction between both sides.
Yes.
And then for whatever reason, like it's almost
right. And
untenable.
Then you don't feel comfortable in your own neighborhood.
Yes.
Like that's the worst feeling. To not feel comfortable in your own house.
Whereas a jerk boss, it might be a bad incident, but if you're going to work with them day in and day out, chances are you can bury the hatchet.
Listen, like we get along with Danny.
Yes. We've had experience in this.
Yeah.
Just half kidding. Experience.
Just kidding.
Paul in hometown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, I can tell you guys, having a jerk neighbor is way easier than a jerk boss.
Really?
I've had a couple of jerk bosses, and they can make your life miserable to where you go home and you're miserable. Jerk neighbor, you just forget about him. Or if you have to go outside and throw fisticuffs with him, nobody sees it, then it happens.
I don't know. And then he calls the cops and you're locked up because you got into a fight with your jerk neighbor. And then your weekends could be ruined. You're away from your boss all weekend, but your Saturdays and Sundays are now ruined because of your jerk neighbor.
Yeah, but if you've got the right friends and you got somebody pops you in the mouth, and nobody's really going to go to jail because he hit me first anyways. That's
well, what if you pop your boss in the mouth then, too, Paul? You set
you know,
the tone.
Again, I retired from Illinois Bell back in the day when you could do that. Nowadays,
Wait, time out. Wait a second. Back in the day when you were working at Illinois Bell, it was okay to punch your boss in the face?
I know guys that got into fights with bosses because the union backed us up. If if he was by himself and we had our steward in the union was there and they, somebody reached across and popped him one, they had no recourse. They couldn't prove shit.
All right.
I love when somebody... one of my favorite things about doing this show for as long as we have is when someone swears, the panic in your face, diving for the dump button. It's just... It's golden.
I got to do both. I got to hit the dump button and I got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because that's the rule. Even though if it's a mistake, they want you to get rid of them.
You got
to
go.
You can't stay.
Yeah, that's right. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
I love this guy's like, hey, if the union steward was there, you reached across the table and you want to knock the you-know-what out of him, you could do that. Jim in Libertyville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. I got to vehemently disagree with the last caller.
Yeah.
A jerk boss is far better of a situation than a jerk neighbor.
Yeah.
A boss may be a jerk to you, but he's not going to necessarily ruin your career over it, right?
Right.
He may be difficult to deal with on a day-to-day basis, but it's not going to ruin your life.
How about this too, Jim? You could actually, if you didn't like your boss, you could stay in the same field of work and find somewhere else to work, but moving is significantly more difficult than
jobs,
moving
good jobs. Are told to
listen, now, neither one is a good option.
Right.
So let me tell you my experience. Living in the city as a young family with a new baby, we lived in a condo association with eight tenants in the building, so they were all my neighbors, right? And they had been there for years, and they made our life a nightmare, mainly because we wanted to leave our stroller. We lived on a fourth-floor walk-up. We wanted to leave our stroller on the foyer in the lobby,
right,
which wasn't anyone's way. But there was a couple people that had a problem with it, and after that, they made our life a nightmare. When anything came up in terms of special assessment,
that's
anything.
Ridiculous. Who wants to lug a stroller four stories up and down? Be nice neighbor. Let the people with the newborn have the stroller down there.
Yeah, so I got to go with neighbor by far.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, again, this is not, you're not choosing between something that's really good and really bad. That's the essence of would you rather.
Right.
You're choosing between bad and bad.
Chris on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Lotto, Sylvie, what's up, fellas? Hey, it's a good question, but it's super easy for me. I'm going with the jerk boss all day long.
Yeah.
At least the jerk boss, I deal with him on my own. As long as my checks are good when it's come check day, I'm all right.
The
jerk neighbor, my whole family has to deal with.
Amen.
Like, nobody will. As a homeowner, a jerk neighbor is like the top nightmare.
Yeah.
It's good advice,
Chris. I think that is,
Chris,
like, that is part of also, like, shopping for a home. Like, you can't interview your potential new neighbors. But, like, you're always crossing your fingers, aren't you? Whenever if you move,
extra
then, oh, my goodness.
Neighbors,
yeah.
You know, I forget all the years of living in apartments.
Yeah.
Those thin walls. My neighbor that used to set his alarm when he would go out of town for 4:30 in the morning and not shut it off.
Right.
And then every morning at 4:30 while he was out of town, the alarm would go back on. Paper thin walls.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to Waddle's list here. Top 10 most important bears.
ESPN 1000 presents Tom Waddle's Top 10 Most Important Bears for the 2022 season.
Yeah! Well, that's just great. You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Number 7.
I feel compelled every time that we go through my list to once again remind everybody that my list and my how I put my list together may be different than how other people see the 2022 season. I look at the 2022 season and see a complete rebuild. I don't see a lot of W's. So once again, I remind you that winning takes a back seat to growth and development. With that in mind, the 7th most important player in the 2022 season for the Chicago Bears. Do you have a guess?
Okay, let's recap. Robert Quinn was...
Robert Quinn slash David Montgomery.
Right.
Was 10.
Was 10.
Number 9 was rookie wide receiver out of Tennessee, Bayless Jones. Number 8, rookie safety out of Penn State, Jaquan Brisker.
See a theme? Number 7, I'm going to go the corner they just drafted out of Washington.
Bingo! Number 7 is cornerback Kyler Gordon.
Number 7.
39th pick of the draft, guess what else he is? He is Ryan Poles' first selection as the general manager of your Chicago Bears.
He's the Kevin White.
He is. Here's hoping he's not Kevin White. But, yes, he is Ryan Poles' first selection. And with the emphasis on the passing game in this league right now, we all know the importance of good cornerback play. There's a number of great wide receivers in this league right now. They're looking to bolster their secondary. You got to have a guy that can move inside and outside. This was one of the things we heard about Kyler Gordon, that he could play on the edge. He could also play inside at the slot. Has to become a contributor early as well. All of these guys need to prove to all of us and to their front office that these were worthy picks high in the draft and guys that you can build your team around. So you decided that you wanted to go cornerback with the 39th pick of the 2022 draft. That guy has to be somebody that you can count on going forward and has to show you quickly that he's part of your equation. So number seven, most important Bears for the 2022 season is rookie cornerback Kyler Gordon.
If he hits, and you've got Jalen Johnson at one corner, and then you've got Kyler Gordon at the other corner, and you have
Jaquan Brisker, who may be able to drop in and play a little bit of inside corner.
Now all of a sudden, and then we'll see if Eddie Jackson can recapture in a takeaway style defense where Eberflus, that's the one thing, his bread and butter that he's always preached in Dallas and in Indy, sort of from the Rod Marinelli, Lovey Smith tree. Like, can he recapture a little bit? And maybe your defensive secondary is the one area that has been built already.
So when you go to the 2023 season, where now, again, I'm not preaching patience for an extended period of time. I've said I'm going to be patient with this front office and this team for another year. And then in 2023, when you have more draft currency and you have a poo ton of cap space, now it's go time. Like, you don't get 2 or 3 years to really build this thing out. That's just not the way it works any longer. Like, you need to show in 2023 that you've got this organization pointed in the right direction and that these guys are guys that you can win with. So it's going to be interesting. Look, you can go through the exercise as well. It's not necessarily how I determine who to put on this list and where to put them. But when you are trying to put a list together of the most important positions. Like, cornerback is really high on the list. I wouldn't put it at the top of the list on the defensive side of the ball. That would be your pass rushers, whether it's a defensive end or an outside linebacker. Whoever's getting after the quarterback is the most important person on the defense for me. The second most important person on the defense for me is somebody that can go out on the edge and hold his own against some of these great receivers that
are
in the league.
Did you and Sal Paola disagree on this one? Which was the one of the three things did you guys disagree on?
Abdallah was with us for that,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes.
Quarterback, pass rusher, and maybe
three most important positions in football. He gave him a quiz in the hotel.
I think I went. Meller, were you with us too?
No, but I've already heard You've the heard telling of it. I feel like I was
I feel
there.
Like this is like I'll Cap telling best. The Cap
yes,
story.
Yes, yeah. I'll do my best to do a Cap
quarterback,
impression.
The guy who's rushing Waddle. The quarterback and the guy who's protecting the quarterback.
Yes, quickly, Waddle. Three most important positions if you're building a Super Bowl team.
Quarterback, the guy chasing the quarterback, the guy protecting the quarterback.
Got to disagree, Tom. Don't think it's necessarily the tackle these days. I like where you're at, but I think cornerback might be a little more important than the tackle these days.
I think that's the conversation.
The Bears offense function. Yeah. With
I think you were
tackles.
Looking for a pair of scissors to cut a tag right. from one of your dress shirts.
It was a new shirt. Time. Yeah. Only the best when I go to Bristol. Yeah.
Sneakily, that might be the funniest part about the whole story, the whole Sal Pal quiz.
I'm like, anyone got a scissors?
Yeah, Sylvie comes down. We're deep into a football conversation, and Sylvie wants a pair of scissors.
Anyone got it's Sal Pal wearing his running gear.
Yes.
He's got a sweat going. It's Abdallah. It's Waddle, and I'm looking for a scissor.
And the last thing I'm expecting is a football quiz from Sal Pal as we're looking to get on the bus and be taken across the street to the show.
That and Sylvie ambushing Dan Shulman at spring training.
That was hilarious.
When he was eating breakfast, that one I was there for.
Dan, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie,
Megan
ESPN 1000. What did he say, Meller?
No, I think I
said hey, no, he looked at Meller and I. No, Sylvie, you looked at Meller and I goes, hey, you guys want to go over and talk to Dan Shulman? And Meller and I both go, no.
Love Dan Shulman.
We all do.
We were just like, we were ready
didn't
for...
want to interrupt his breakfast.
Yeah, we were ready to eat.
It wasn't like he was in mid-syrup on the pancakes. They were not in the... I don't walk up to people while they're eating.
Did he wait for him to finish eating and got up? As soon as he got up, he, like a jackrabbit, Sylvie got out of his chair and ran over there.
At the Mexican restaurant in Libertyville. Yeah. In Lake Forest, Authentico.
Yeah.
We were sitting outside, and not only did our food just arrive, but someone, as the food arrived, saw us, came over, and they started chatting while we got our food. Not only did they chat with us and catch a long
Did they
chat,
sit down and grab a drink?
No, but a chip was taken from the mirror and dipped it into my guacamole.
Time out. So yes. Somebody came over. It must have been a really good friend. Like, I probably would come over and feel comfortable doing that. I wouldn't.
Like, right when the food comes is when I'm, even if it's a good friend, don't you sort of leave the table and say, oh, yes, you guys just got your food. Yeah. I'm going to leave you alone. We'll catch up later.
Who was it?
I can't tell you.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
Give me a hint.
I cannot tell you.
Neighbor?
Nope.
Andy Dalton?
Yes.
Somebody from the Bears?
Close.
Somebody from the Bulls? No. Somebody that covered you. Jeff Joniak came over and dipped his chip. I saw Jeff at Deer Path Inn last summer.
Oh, did you?
He's great. It was his birthday the other day. So a belated happy birthday to
it
Jeff.
It wasn't Jeff. It was not Jeff. No. You're in the right ballpark, though. You're in the right ballpark.
I am.
Yeah, you're in the right ballpark.
Really?
Yeah, you're in the right ballpark.
Brandon Faber stopped by and dipped his chip.
Fabe could dip his chip anytime he wants.
So this is someone you didn't want to dip their chip?
No, not necessarily. It was just a little weird. Like when you brought
George McCaskey.
I would never go when someone is in mid-meal and approach them. Especially when I don't know them well. And even if I do know them well. Like, if you're having drinks and, like, the food hasn't arrived
Why can't
yet.
I remember? I think you even told me.
I told you. All right. I want to play you the Colin Cowherd stuff, okay? Because I believe Big Cat and I are aligned on our thoughts on Justin Fields. And I want to sum that up. Plus, could Barkley be leaving TNT?
What?
Could Charles Barkley be leaving TNT? We'll get to all of that next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right. Want to play you the Colin Cowherd from a couple days ago on Justin Fields. When we had Barstool Big Cat on, I think we both have the same feeling about Fields. We're both big Fields supporters. And we think Fields is going to work out.
You and Big Cat or you and me?
You, me and Big Cat.
Yep.
But I think both of us are pretty scared right now. If I could make a shirt, I believe in Justin Fields. .. But I'm scared blankless. You know, of just where this could go if it doesn't work. Last year, I was sure he was going to work. I'm 85, 90% sure that he's going to be good, but I can't tell you that I'm without worry now.
Look, I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic, but I'm realistic. He's not in a great situation, you know, obviously. He doesn't have a ton of accomplished players in his offensive huddle. It doesn't mean he can't improve on some of the things that he wasn't good at, but he doesn't have a lot of help in that huddle. But I don't feel strongly that he's going to be a superstar, nor do I feel strongly he's going to be a bust.
Because if they have this season where, with a limited roster, they show growth and Fields can convince you that he's good, then you're in the perfect spot. You've got the young quarterback. And now you've got the general manager with all of his draft picks and all of his free agent money to go. Now we're off to the races. If they're not good and the quarterback hasn't done anything, It doesn't matter really how much money and how my, you know, you could draft a quarterback, but you're now even taking another step back.
I think you're going to be able to look at the how they try to use him and how they try to protect him and help him and come to some conclusions fairly early about the competence of the plan.
I hope
so. Like what they need to do. Don't think you're going to make him a drop back passer at this point because A, your offensive line's not great, and B, you don't have a ton of great weapons on the edge. Do what he does well right now to get him some rhythm. Get him out on the edge. Because you can't tell me he wasn't more accurate on the edge than he was in the pocket. He just didn't look comfortable in the pocket for a number of reasons. And a lot of them had to do with his things, and a lot of them had to do with other things that were going on. But to build some confidence in him, ask him to do what he does well now and use that as part of his foundation. So when you prove that you can protect him, and you prove that you've got some guys that your tight end has made progress and Mooney is making progress and some other guys can help you, then ask him to do a little bit more from inside the pocket. But my hope is that they, A, they establish the run, and B, they ask him to do things that he's comfortable with as a young quarterback in this league.
We saw the Bears blog did an interview with someone in the league who he could not share who it was. And he's not with the Bears organization, and he said the way personnel people talk about Fields is that this is his rookie year again.
I agree.
You are just starting over.
Yeah, that's why I said you're rewiring him. This is how I describe 2022 for Justin Fields is you are rewiring him, and you're trying to lay the foundation for him, albeit in his sophomore season.
Here's Colin Cowherd on Justin Fields and what the Bears may think or not think of him.
The current GM of the Bears did not draft Justin Fields. The current coach of the Bears had no reported fondness of Justin Fields. I have been told they're not necessarily sold on Justin Fields. They don't know.
Why would you be?
Who does?
Right? Here's the deal as well. They do have a little bit of flexibility here. If they suck the way that many believe they will suck, you're going to have a high draft pick in a draft where many people believe it's going to be a strong quarterback class, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, the optimal thing is for Justin to make strides and to make progress and convince you that he's the future. Now you have your quarterback under a rookie contract, you have your draft currency and free agency money. That's ideal.
6-11 could be really, really productive if Fields is good and some of the young guys grow.
Correct. But if you don't see progress in Fields, what you're hoping for is a total tank job, because then you're in line to draft. It may not sound like it's the prudent thing to do, because 2 years earlier you traded up and drafted a quarterback at, what did they get him at?
11. Right?
Like, you don't want to be in the quarterback draft again high in the first round 2 years later. But if you have to do that, that's why I think that, you know.
I don't think he's bright. I mean, like, of course. Like, what is.
The current GM of the Bears did not draft Justin Fields.
Okay, right.
The current coach of the Bears had no reported fondness of Justin Fields.
All right.
I have been told they're not necessarily sold on Justin Fields. They don't know.
Who is necessarily sold on Justin Fields?
I don't know. Who? I'm not. Are you?
Do you know anybody? How can you be?
No. Well, and I mean, like, listen, Matt Eberflus
be good.
Matt Eberflus is also a defensive coach. So, like, I'm not suggesting he doesn't know what a good quarterback looks like, but, you know, his specialty is on the other side of the ball.
He's not breaking any news there.
Right.
He's not telling you any inside information. That's
Who's
common
he been told?
Sense.
Who's he been told by?
It's common sense.
Jason Lockenfora? Is he the one whispering in Colin's ear?
Don't you think it would be foolish for the new staff to come out and start raving, oh, this is our guy. You know, we believe that. You know what?
They got to be nimble.
Let it breathe. That's what you want. Look, let's say this. We all want Justin Fields to be the answer quarterback. We're thirsting for a guy who can be that guy. But the last thing we want is to be hemmed in and not be able to move and not have a group that's willing to move if, for whatever reason, the progress doesn't appear.
Right.
If you see him this year play poorly and you're like, wow, I get it. He doesn't have a lot to work with, but that's crap right there. Don't you want your organization
to be quick
to just, you know, stick and move. It's like what I said to you about the Rams. The moment they lost faith in Jared Goff, you've got to separate.
Right.
You can't pretend.
Arizona took a quarterback the very next year in Kyler Murray.
Yes. You can't pretend that this is all going to work out. If you don't believe in that guy, you don't believe in that guy, and you do have to stick and move.
I hope we're not there.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Don't be naive, though, too. Of course, they may not. None of us know exactly what he's going to be, but the reality is that they're hoping like hell that he proves this year that he's the answer.
Sure.
Because, my God, then Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus' job is so much easier now.
Yes.
Question.
Yes. If they unlock that and he thrives and they don't have to worry about quarterback like every other general manager in Bears history.
Right.
Now we're off. That's what I want.
I think the most important guy in the building truly could be Luke Getsy and what he helps do.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
other than Fields?
Yeah, I'm talking about in terms of coaches. Like, not to diminish who your head coach is, but in this environment,
there's no question about that.
The offensive coordinator, who's getting his first spin as an offensive coordinator, is being entrusted to rewire your quarterback who was wired improperly the year before.
Yes.
Like, the telling stuff was the first time we heard them talk about this new group and the getting their hands on the players was something as simple as Fields was putting his left foot in front of his right foot or his right foot in front of his left foot, which was the exact opposite of the year before. Like, holy, you know what? Like,
that's how far back we're going.
That's what we're focusing on right now.
Right, right. I also wanted to give you this, too, if you want to weigh in on some of the Bear stuff, 312-332-3776. Dan Patrick was on today, and this has been floating around about Charles Barkley possibly going to live golf. And that could mean not broadcasting basketball. Listen to Dan Patrick's report. This was today, wasn't it, Meller? Here it is.
In my opinion, he's the most valuable voice in sports media. You throw in all the commercials because he may lose those endorsements. A lot of these players who have joined the LIV Tour lost endorsements. Charles knows that he may lose those. So if you're going to go after Charles Barkley, you don't have a TV deal, and you have David Faraday, what are you going to give Charles Barkley? And Charles says he's going to listen to them, I believe, tomorrow night and decide what he's going to do, and he might have to leave TNT. That's why this is a huge deal. And Charles knows that he may have to leave TNT to do this. But what's the problem?
When you said that, we were all thinking to ourselves, okay, if Charles Barkley, he doesn't cover golf for a living generally, so he could go cover some golf on the side, make $10 million, and wouldn't bother anybody. As soon as you said he may have to leave TNT, that's where we all went, if I'm no way, Charles can't do that.
Well,
for any amount of money.
I'm just putting it out there, what I was told this morning. Charles knows he may have to leave TNT. That would be bad for everybody. So you can say, oh my gosh, these golfers, if Cameron Smith is going to leave. By the way, you know, he's from Australia. Greg Norman, the last Australian to win the Open Championship, and that's probably a conversation that they've had or been having, and we're still waiting to see if he's going to join the LIV Tour. But if Charles Barkley would leave TNT and go to the LIV Tour, that's a big deal. That has nothing. That's not growing the game. Now you're taking away from the NBA with this. This has nothing to do with golf, per se. And who is going to, are you more likely now to get a TV deal? And who is going to step up and wants to be that TV partner? That's what I'd be curious about. Unless TBS says, hey, we'll be the TV partner, but then they're also with the PGA Tour, they have, I think there's a partial coverage on TNT or TBS.
And I think Patrick said that Barkley's meeting with them tomorrow night about LIV Golf. I'm with Paulie, and Paulie and I went to college together at Southern. That, like, Charles can do what he wants. I mean, I'll respect Charles, whatever decision he makes, but I don't want him to leave NBA coverage.
I don't either. Because I enjoy him covering the NBA. But if they come in a, listen, if he goes to the LIV Tour, it ain't going to be like double what his salary was from TNT. It's going to be
like five times
15, 20 million a year.
Like, are we talking? Like, Phil got 200 million. Like,
right.
We're going to talk nine-figure deal, right? That's got to be in the $100 million for.
I don't. I mean, that sounds. You might be right. You know, like, what? 5 years. 5 years, 100 million, that's 20 million a year.
Maybe this is the way. We asked Barkley, remember this. I asked Barkley about Tom Brady. Like, hey, wouldn't you like to get that Brady money?
Yeah.
Maybe they already have him, so they don't need to give him Brady money. Maybe this is the way he gets his Brady money, by saying, hey, I'm flirting with Liv. You want to keep me on TNT?
Yeah. Sure, you
write a check like they write for Romo and write a check like they write, because I'm more valuable than those two.
No, there's no doubt. But, Jeff, you're right. I mean, if you think about it, he's not leaving there. What did he tell us he makes, like, a couple million a year? Didn't you ask him exactly what he made?
What was it, two or three?
He said, like, $2 or $3 million a year.
I don't remember.
I'm just speculating. Okay, but, like, he ain't leaving for $5 million a year. He's just not.
It's got to be astronomical
money. $20 million a year. That would be my guess. So you're right, Meller. Think about it. A five-year deal for him. $20 million a year, that's $100 million.
Here's the question that I asked Barkley when he joined us last month. As a golf fan, how do you feel about the LIV Golf Tour?
I got no problem with it. Listen, they're all free agents. And I got a couple guys are friends of mine, and I said, hey, somebody offered me $200 million, I'm going. Somebody offered me $150 million. But I got no problem with the LIV. Those guys are all free agents. And, you know, that's a lot of money to play 12 weeks of golf.
Yeah. And that's why I don't think he would leave TNT, because it's only 12 weeks of golf?
Yeah, but if you're giving him $100 million over 5 years.
Why does he have to do basketball?
The thing is, like, at a certain point, selfishly for all of us, we want Barkley on NBA coverage.
Why wouldn't he? Let me ask. I mean, let's.
Because he likes his job.
I'm sure he does, but, like, how could you turn down $20 million a year?
I'm not saying turning it down. I'm saying, why can't he do both?
Well, I'm with you there.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. If it's only 12 weeks of golf and he can get paid for that,
then why would TNT?
Why does he need to set?
Because this would be the LIV Tour wanting exclusivity from him, I believe. I think so.
Maybe that's part of the deal, is they don't get exclusivity.
Maybe they want, wouldn't you want your guy being on as much as possible?
I'm with you there. I think you get more out of Charles Barkley from him also maintaining his status at TNT.
I don't know, man. I could see, though, where if you're the LIV Tour, you're in this now for, you know, the big. I agree with Dan Patrick. Barkley is the biggest, you know, sports. He's the one guy. Like, forget Brady, forget Romo. It's because of their ties to the NFL. Charles Barkley's the one guy who, when he speaks, whatever he says, whatever top, like, when we have him on,
right.
You guys are you're talking every topic, every sports. You know, it doesn't matter. We want to know what Charles thinks about this.
I would just say that, like, their leverage, the only leverage they have is money, because it's not viewers. It's not, you know, the opportunity to do other stuff.
They don't even have a TV deal, like they said.
So,
but does getting Charles Barkley on board with your tour make them more enticing to go ahead and for a broadcasting
partner? I got to tell you, I love Charles. I don't believe, it doesn't take me to go watch, I'm not going to watch the LIV Tour because Charles is doing it.
You could just say, I'm not going to watch the LIV Tour. And it's not because of my stance on anything. I don't need more golf.
Right.
Like, I got the back nine at the Open, and that, you know what? I'm good.
I rarely watch tournaments that aren't the four majors or some of the bigger, well-known tournaments.
Are you more inclined to watch the LIV Tour
if Barkley's on it
than the PGA Tour if Barkley's on some broadcast where he's busting everyone's balls?
No, I'm not.
And how about this? Does Barkley signing up, does that entice other golfers who might be on the fence at the PGA Tour?
Make it more mainstream?
Yeah. All of a sudden, what if the LIV Tour has a more enticing roster of golfers? You know, what if everybody but Rory is all of a sudden interested in LIV?
Oh, I think that there's a chance that they're going to become a more viable option for more players. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think Cam Smith just told you that, didn't he? That he's probably going to go there?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know. I just know he didn't deny that, that he was going.
Well, if he wasn't going, he would say, no, I'm not going.
Listen,
right?
I think if they offer Charles $100 million over 5 years, I think Charles is gone.
Yeah. Gone, but that's my point. Gone or going there and going to try and do TNT?
Well, I think if he could do both, he would. But if they you know, if it's mandatory that he can only do the live tour, and it's a five-year, $100 million, obviously all speculation, 5 years, $100 million, I think he says, you know, goodbye to the TNT crew. Like, he's always kind of hinted, too, that, you know, he's not going to do that forever.
No, I know.
You know?
He said this is the last deal. I don't believe him.
I don't. Yeah, I'm with you on that front, but, like, he's 60? Is he 60? He's 58?
Yeah, basically in that area. No, older than that, isn't he? Is it? Or 60? Yeah.
59.
Like, take that 100 mil.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to Abdallah. Is Black here, too? Because he did... Hoodie today on Cap and Jay Hood.
I think so, it's Solo Abdallah.
Solo Abdallah coming up, and then we've got the All-Star game tonight. We'll talk to Adam coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special. That's tomorrow. That includes golf and a cart. Find your tee times at golfsanctuary.com.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Abdallah is not on today. We're going right into the All-Star Game pregame. Used to saying White Sox pregame. White Sox have till Friday. Thinking about going to see one of the games against the Guardians over the weekend with the kid.
Big series.
It's a big series. They're all big, too. When you're chasing by
you
three games.
Doing? What are they doing now?
They're about to roll.
No, what were you
saying? You're going to get on a roll.
No, you said something else. It's all, I forgot what you said.
Like, it's erased the bad, the first half. They didn't sweep, though. But I think they're in the catbird seat now. I do.
Catbird seat, third place in the worst division in baseball, and they're in the catbird seat.
I think they're about to go. Hit the gas
You're going to make some money.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not counting that for sure. But
The catbird seat, then you're making money.
They have the best, I want to say, by the 538 and by Fangraphs, they are the choice right now, percent-wise,
to win the division.
Yes. Well,
they're the best team.
And then when you add in the schedule and everything like that, yeah, the best team, the schedule.
What do we got, 70 games left?
Yes, exactly 70.
Yeah.
Exactly 70. Also, we've talked a lot of football today. Don't forget, Football Fest is coming. It is just about, it's a month away. It's August 20th. Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana, brand new event that we have created for you. It is free, and it is open to you and your friends. You can see all of us, Waddle, me, Meller. Tyler will be there. Charlie, you going to Football Fest?
Hell I'm not sure. Danny was saying something about a little stand-up, so we'll see.
You'll be performing at Football Fest.
Cap, Hoodie, Black Abdallah, Carmen Yurko, all of us. You'll see us all there. It is free register required, though. ESPNFootballFest.com. Reserve your spots today. We'll talk sports betting. We're going to talk Bears. We're going to talk fantasy. It's going to be our biggest event of the year. You got to be 21 years or older. And we're going to be announcing some guests soon. Some special guests who will be joining.
Really?
Yes. You're not aware of this, huh?
No. I think it was on vacation when all these tough decisions were made.
There were a couple funny stories that I wanted to give you here before the All-Star Game pregame. Did you see that Paul Blackburn, who's the A's pitcher, he was going to fly to tonight's All-Star Game and coach. But were they playing the Astros? And so the Astros, who have a ton of All-Stars, said, hey.
And a charter.
We have a private jet.
Yeah.
Will you want to go with us? And he said, hey, if Dusty allows it, I'm in.
Yeah.
So he flew with a bunch of guys who aren't on his team.
That's awesome. That's good. That's a good story. The A's are just a disaster, aren't they?
I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you do if you're the owner? Do you fly the guy, coach, or private jet if it's just one of them?
Private jet him.
Even if he's not really an all-star because he's just your lone rep?
He's an all-star, mister. No, you bus him. You tell him to take a bus. No, you get him on a private jet. Stop it.
Thanks to Barstool Big Cat today. And again, we've got the All-Star Game coming up next for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. Have a great Tuesday night.